2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now, Paul, I think many times that we often have a very rose-colored picture of what life was like in the first century church. And I believe that we oftentimes romanticize it, and we look at it in a fashion that belies the truth of it. Paul, I believe, was the greatest preacher of the gospel that the Lord saw fit to send into the earth to proclaim it, of course, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he would, Paul himself said that he was not a great orator. Now, the gift of oratory is not the gift of preaching. Now, it is a true thing that sometimes the Lord causes a man to have the gift of oratory and the gift of preaching, but there's a big difference between being able to speak in a fashion that holds the attention of people and is what people want to hear, and that preaching that which is the Word of God in such a fashion as it is sent from God. Now, Paul said this. He often brought recognition of this, but most especially at the end of his life, which of course this epistle to Timothy is one of those, he made mention of the fact that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, it is my opinion in my study of the Scripture that there are only 12 apostles, that there has never been more than 12 apostles, and there will never be more than 12 apostles. And it is my opinion, again, having studied the Scriptures, that the early church, though well-meaning in setting up an apostle to take the place of Judas, nonetheless jumped the gun and did something that was not the purpose of God in setting forth an apostle. Now, we know that it was the purpose of God in doing what it did, because all things are according to the purpose of God in doing what it did. But it was not the purpose of God to set up Matthias as one of the apostles, even though he was recognized as such among the early church because of the fact that they picked the lots and the lot fell upon him. And so they said, well, he'll be numbered among us. That, of course, you know, you always have differences of opinion about that. And, of course, I can't prove what I'm saying any more than anybody else can prove otherwise. But it seems to me, as I look at what an apostle is and at the comments that the Apostle Paul said concerning himself, that he was indeed an apostle, unless what he said here is not true. So he was an apostle. Now, the only other alternative that we have is that there's more than 12 apostles. But I don't think that ultimately you can... I believe ultimately the Scripture will prove out that the apostles were those whom the Lord specifically appointed unto a purpose. They were all individually called directly by the mouth of the Lord. They were all witnesses of the resurrection. And they were given a gift which was not repeated again. And so the Apostle Paul says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, if something's by the will of God, then it can't be overturned. Now, we know on the one hand that all things are by the will of God. There's nothing that transpires in the world that is not according to the will of God. But then there is a mention of the will of God that is carries with it a little more weight than if we say, well, that was God's will. We know that all things are according to God's will, but it is according to God's direct purpose that that Paul was an apostle. He didn't just take it upon himself, is what he's saying. He didn't just decide, well, I think I'm an apostle. He said, I'm an apostle by the will of God. He said it was according to the purpose of God, because he mentions the fact that he was as one who was born out of due time. That is, he was not born, or not that he was necessarily not born, but at least he was not in the place at the time when the Lord originally called the 12 apostles at that time, as men understood and as the Lord designated. But he said there was one of those original apostles who was not an apostle at all because he was an apostate, but he was called for a purpose. As the Lord mentions in His prayer, He said, of all those Thou hast given Me, I have lost none except the son of perdition. Because he was chosen for a purpose. Judas was chosen for a purpose. Now, because someone's chosen for a purpose, that's not necessarily, insofar as the man chosen for the purpose is concerned, a good thing, is it? Because the Lord said about Judas, He said it would have been better for him if he'd have never been born. Now that has caused a lot of people a lot of consternation down through the years, but dear brethren, it should cause us no consternation at all, because it just confirms the fact that all things are ordained of God to occur as He sees fit for them to occur. And He chose Judas just as much for the purpose of betraying him as He chose the rest of His apostles to be faithful and walk and preach the gospel. It was just as much the purpose. But it was for a different purpose. And so Paul says here, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I didn't take this to myself. I didn't decide that I would be. I was going along my way, minding my own business. I didn't even want anything to do with the gospel, he says. I was content to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was content to persecute the church of God. That was the thing I was looking for. That was the thing I delighted in. I didn't have a mind to anything else. But he said, but God, who's rich in mercy, He arrested me on that way, and according to the will of God, He made me an apostle. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the apostle Paul knew that the apostleship that he was given was first and foremost the result of the fact that he was ordained unto eternal life. Now, we read in the book of Acts that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. How are the elect discovered? How can you know who the elect are? Because they believe. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. If a man believes the gospel, now I'm not talking about if he makes a decision. I'm not talking about if he does something through an act of his own free will just because he determines to do it. But I'm saying if a man believes the gospel according to what the Scripture speaks about that believing the gospel is, if he believes the gospel, it's because he was ordained unto eternal life. And so Paul says here, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to His purpose, he says, which was according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Now, where is the life that we have? The Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you'd have asked of me, I would have given you water that you would drink of that would be in you a well of water springing up into eternal life. Where is the life of God's people? In Christ. He has given us life in Christ, and we have life in Christ because He has put us in Christ. And the reason we believe is because we have life. You see, a man does not believe the gospel in order to get life. Now, when I was young, that was basically what I was taught, was that in order to get eternal life, you had to believe. But that's putting the cart ahead of the horse. Because only the man who has been given life will believe. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, they were given life. When were they given life? Well, there came a point in time in which that which was dead was made alive. So there is a point in time in their existence when they were actually had life bestowed upon them. But when was the gift of life given to the children of God? Absolutely right. Before they were ever born, before they ever knew anything, they were given life in Jesus Christ. They were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And so it is that he speaks here of his apostleship in the same light in which he speaks of the fact that he is a child of God. And so every one of God's people are ordained unto a purpose in the kingdom of God. Not all of us are ordained unto the apostleship. None of us are. Because the church is built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ Himself being what? The chief cornerstone. So Jesus Christ is the very foundation upon which the other foundation rests, but the foundation of the church is built upon the apostles. That is, upon the Word of God that was given through them. Because the Word of God has come to us through the apostles. And were it not that He gave it to us, what would we be doing? I mean, we're a blessed people. It's in the purpose of God to do things just like He did, but if you think of all the what ifs, think of all the what ifs. Now, men are not a bit different today than they were in His day. Everybody's the same. That man's always been the same ever since Adam was born. He's exactly like you and I. All of us are prone to sin, and we go towards it with all that's within us. And so we see that He mentions down here in verse 15, He says something quite startling to those who look through rose-colored glasses at the early days of the church and think that everybody was just coming into the church and believing and things were great. He said, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia are turned against me." Wow. Paul wasn't very popular, was he, in Asia? Now, it is a fact that all men would depart from the Lord. All of us, having believed the gospel, at least insofar as we think we've believed it, every one of us, without exception, would depart from the Lord tomorrow if He does not keep us. Now, the promise is to His children that He will keep them. But the sands of time are littered with the carcasses of those who made professions of faith and turned aside and walked no more with the Lord. Now, modern religion tells us, well, they're just carnal Christians. You know, they got in, they got their ticket punched, they believed, and since you can't be lost once you're saved, I mean, they were saved, and so here they are. Well, the Word of God doesn't teach us any such thing. And Paul wasn't a fly-by-night apostle. He didn't cease being an apostle, did he? Why? Because he was called of God according to the purpose of God and according to the promise which was given to him before the foundation of the world. Now, he which has promised will perform that until the day of Jesus Christ. If he has promised it, then he will do it. And Paul said, "I am an apostle sent by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus." Now, over here in the book of Titus, I believe it is, Titus 1 and 2, "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." God that cannot lie. Now, is God unable to do something? He's not unable to do anything that He wills to do. But you see, it's not in the character and purpose of God to deceive His elect. Now, the Scriptures tell us that He does send deception and He does deceive those who are in darkness. He hardens the heart. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh, did He not? Now, the Scripture says also that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. It was the way of his heart. But you see, God's the first cause of all things. But when the Scripture says God which cannot lie, it's not talking about God lacking some ability. It's talking about the fact that in His character He will not deceive those whom He loves. He's faithful. He's true. He will do what He says He's going to do. The Lord said that He would destroy the wicked. You better be sure that He will not lie about that. He said He would preserve the faithful. You can be sure that He will not lie about that. God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. And that's the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. But getting back to Paul's situation, why is Paul making such an emphasis of the fact that he is an apostle? Because there were many deceivers that came in the early church, just as there are multitudes in the present time. Now, the present day is not the only day when there are deceivers that have come into the church. Now, there's plenty of them today. You don't have to look far to find plenty of those that would lead God's people astray. Now, they may tell God's people partial truths, but they will ultimately lead men astray from Christ, because there is one thing that the children of God are called upon to believe, and that is in the finished work and the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ as the basis upon which they stand accepted before Almighty God. And any message which does not have that at its center is a deceptive message. It doesn't matter who speaks it. It's a lie. It's a deception. And it will turn men away from the truth. And this is what Paul is speaking about here. He said, all they which are in Asia, all the churches in Asia. That was a bunch of them. I mean, think about that. Now, why aren't these churches, why isn't the church at Ephesus still there? All they which are in Asia, he said, are turned against me. Thyatira. Why are the churches not there? Because they departed away from the gospel. Now, did the Lord have people in those churches? Well, sure He did at some point in time. But because a church continues on in its form, doesn't mean that the Lord's in the midst of it. I mean, as you look at all those churches that the Lord warns in the book of the Revelation, they were real churches, assemblies. But they're not existent today. We don't find them anywhere. Why is that? Because they departed from the truth. They were given over to fables. And I'm amazed. I've seen it in my own lifetime. Churches that at one time had sound biblical foundations that they stood upon, little by little depart from it, and then one day anything goes. And so Paul is very emphatic in setting forth the fact that he is an apostle according to the will of God, in contrast to those who are no apostles at all, who are false apostles, who went about to, as he, what did he tell the Ephesian elders? in the 20th chapter of Acts. He said, and who did he say, where did he say they were going to come from? He didn't say they're going. Now watch out for these people coming over here from down the road, or these other countries coming in here. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, of your own selves. Some of those that were there with Paul right then, he said, of your own selves shall men arise speaking lies and deceiving men and drawing them after their self. There's nothing more common than religious leaders with charisma and eloquence and oratory and the ability to persuade men to follow them to gain great followings. Now, all you got to do is turn the radio and TV on if you don't believe that to be true. And a lot of them saying a lot of good stuff. I'm not saying they don't say a lot of good stuff. But you'll look hard and find them saying that it's Jesus Christ and Him alone, His righteousness with nothing added to it. It's grace and nothing else. I'm not saying there's not some, but I'm saying that you got to look hard. You can't just pick out anyone you desire, because there are deceivers among us. Now, why would I even point that out? Because, dear brethren, none of us are immune in the flesh. And we need to be mindful of our own self. Why did Paul say, examine yourselves? To do what? To see if you be in the faith. That's what he said. Examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. How do we know we're in the faith? Because we adhere to what Paul taught in the Scriptures. What did he teach? He said, I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And dear brethren, if there's anything else that men make an issue out of, other than Christ and Him alone. Not Christ in what you do. I've been in correspondence with a young man that this week, and he was the one that preached spoke at the memorial service for my cousin, and I corresponded with him and asked him some questions, and he's been kind and in our correspondence, and we've not shot each other or anything like that. We're having a conversation. But I will say this, he was at least honest in what he said. He said Jesus Christ made salvation a possibility. I said, right there is where you and I differ in all things. And because of that, we are not even close to being on the same page. Because to believe that Jesus Christ made salvation possible is not the gospel. Now, there's a lot of things that can be said, a lot of scriptures and a lot of things that he brought forth that I would 100% agree with. But upon that, is the point at which we diverge and can find no place of agreement. Because if what Christ did and what we come to this place today to remember, dear brethren, if all that what He did here was make it possible for us to be saved, we're in deep trouble. Because not outside of the fact that that's not what the Scripture says, how can we be saved by that which makes something possible? What if something's possible, what would make it absolute? Would it be the free will of men? That's what they say. I mean, that's exactly, he wasn't ashamed to say it. which I'll give him more than I'll give him that, that he's exactly honest in what he was setting forth. A lot of these guys, they believe the exact same thing that he did, but they would be afraid to say it like that. But they really believe the exact same thing, because they know from what they've been that the Scripture teaches that men are saved by grace. Now, just because somebody says they believe men are saved by grace doesn't mean they mean the same thing that Paul meant when he said we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, how do we, because men will boast. They'll say, well, those folks are going to hell, but we're not. Because we've believed. The world is going to destruction. And the only reason that we're not headed in the same direction, if indeed it is us that's not headed in that direction, is because of the grace and mercy of God and that which Paul speaks about here according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, which God gave before the foundation of the world. Now, if the promise which was given to Abraham 435 years before the law was sure and steadfast, and it could not be overturned, think how much more sure that promise is which was given to Christ before the foundation of the world. The promise of life in Christ unto all those which were given to Him. Now, dear brethren, that's the basis and stand, the place upon which we stand. And it's a place of great rejoicing. And it is a true thing that a man does not have to be able to articulate that particular thing, but he does need to know upon what it is that he has believed. Paul said, "For this cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Now, we come here this morning to remember the Lord's death till He comes again. And by partaking of this, we agree with the Apostle Paul. We say we know whom we have believed. We don't know whom we think's made salvation a possibility if we carry through and hold out faithful and do all the things that God said to do, and by our own works and merit we somehow get God to take notice of us and give us an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. But we know whom we have believed. And we are persuaded, Paul said. I know whom I have believed. And because I know whom it is I have believed, I am persuaded. I'm convinced. You see, you can't have belief without persuasion. How shall they believe in Him of whom what? They have not heard. You see, if you have not heard the gospel, you can't very well believe it, can you? If you haven't heard it. If it's not been brought, as he said there in the book in this same thing, about it said life in them, this has brought life and immortality to light. That's what the gospel does. It brings life and immortality to light. It doesn't bring life. The gospel can't confer life to you. The Spirit of God alone can confer life to those to whom He's promised that life. But you see, it's the gospel that brings the life and the immortality to light, that we can see it for what it is. And it is the preaching of the gospel in the setting forth of the bread and the wine as it declares the work of Christ in our behalf. And we know whom we have believed. Who is it that we have believed? Have you believed me? I hope not. I don't want you to believe me. I hope by the grace of God that you believe the same one Paul said. He said, for I know whom I have believed. Jesus Christ. He's that one. And he said, I am convinced, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. He didn't say, because I've committed myself to him. That's not what he said. What did he commit to him? He committed to him the belief. See, that's what belief is. It is committing to something. I've used this illustration before, but when I was trying to teach my kids to swim, I can remember Caleb especially. It was hard for him to let go of the side of the pool. Now, he wanted to come to me, but he liked the holding on to the side of the pool better than he liked coming to me, because he knew what he had when he was holding on to the pool. But the day came when he made what? A commitment. He committed himself to something he believed, you see, that he could make it there. He believed that I wasn't going to let him go. Now that's what it is to believe the gospel. It's to believe Christ. It's not to believe we're in. Oh, brother, do you believe you're saved? Paul didn't say, brother, I know I'm saved. He says, I know whom I believed. And he said, whether I'm saved or not, I know whom I've believed. And I'm convinced of this, that he's able to keep that which I have committed, I've believed. If that's not enough, then it just won't be enough. But he says, I know he's able. And you see, he's the one upon whom our faith and our hope rests. The object of faith. It's not the activity of faith. Now, the thing that's emphasized in our day and time is the activity of faith. Brother, you got to have faith. You just got to have faith. Do you have faith? But I'm not asking you, do you have faith? I'm asking you, in whom have you believed? You see, that is the thing. It's the object. The one in whom you have believed. That you have committed yourself unto him. I've committed it unto him against that day. That's why Job said, he didn't say, brother, I know I'm saved. Did he? What did he say? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though I don't know what the outcome is, yet will I trust him. Now, dear brethren, the Lord is pleased to give to his people a hope and an expectation in the outcome. And while it's impossible for a man to climb up on a ladder to heaven and see his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is possible, by the grace of God, that a man can confess, even as the Apostle Paul did, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, because I trust him. I know whom I have believed. Dear brother, that's all we ever hope to do is preach Christ and him crucified. And we believe that those who are ordained unto eternal life will believe. They will embrace that. And they will say, with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. Oh, how dim and how cold our hearts are from time to time. But he never falters. And our confidence is in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised, the Scripture says, before the world began. Oh, what a glorious place to stand. I can't think of a better place to stand. I can't think of a better way in which God's people can be reminded of that hope than in the bread and the wine, which are the symbols of His body and His blood, which was given in the behalf of His people. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should die for his friends. But this man, even while we were yet sinners, did die for us. What a glorious thought. May the Lord give us a mind this day to be able to confess with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.